You know, this is one of those topics that no one really wants to think about, but if you're a parent, a homeowner, married, or helping take care of aging parents, it's something that honestly deserves a little attention. I'm talking about estate planning. And before you tune out thinking it's complicated or expensive, that's actually why I want to mention trust and will. Trust and will makes estate planning feel way less intimidating than it sounds. They offer modern, attorney-designed wills and trusts that you can create online. And the process is surprisingly straightforward. In fact, you can create a will in as little as 30 minutes. That includes things like guardianship for your kids or pets, how your assets are distributed, and even healthcare directives. Don't wait until it's too late. Protect your loved ones with Trust and Will, the most trusted name in online estate planning. Go to trustandwill.com/future to get 20% off. That's trustandwill.com/future for 20% off. trustandwill.com/future.
You've heard a lot about the Strait of Hormuz. Well, here's a brief history. Let me explain.
Let me explain with Sean Defoe, a News Talk original.
Hello and welcome to Let Me Explain. Don't forget to like and subscribe wherever it is you listen to podcasts to get more of the explainers we do on something that's in the news or news adjacent. And this week, well, you've probably heard every night, every day on the news over the last month about the Strait of Hormuz and the blockade being operated by Iran. And it is quite extraordinary how you can view war in real time now in a way we could never do before. I remember being on TV the morning that the war in Ukraine started, and within hours of Russia crossing the border, we were showing images of tanks and other equipment trundling into Ukraine. And you can go to all sorts of depths on the internet to see content like that, and of course much, much worse. Some of it real, some of it fake. I mean, look at Palestine, for example, a genocide broadcast across the world, and just these horrific issues showing up on our social media, on our entertainment feeds every day. And to see what's happening in the Strait of Hormuz, well, all you have to do now is look on marinetraffic.com. Usually about 3,000 ships a day travel through the Strait, bringing oil, LNG and other goods. And if you log on to the website now, you can actually see that there are a very, very tiny number of ships making their way, mostly through by the Iranian coastline. Oman is on the other side and the UAE of the Straits of Hormuz. But you will see these cluster of dots on either side of the strait, dozens of ships in each one, color-coded red for oil or gas and green for goods, just waiting for it to be safe to transit through, just sitting there with goods that were bound for somewhere else in the world. And of course, all of this impacting global supply chains. So the real stagnation caused by war in real time online. So start this podcast. What are the Straits of Hormuz? Well, as the name suggests, it is a slip of open water that gives much of the Middle East its only access by sea to the rest of Asia. It links the Gulf of Persia and the Arabian Sea into the Indian Ocean. So if you're in the likes of Kuwait, Iraq, Qatar, large parts of Saudi Arabia and the UAE, you need to use the Straits of Hormuz to get anywhere by boat. The Straits are about 50 kilometres wide at its widest point, less than half the width of the Irish Sea, or at least Dublin to Holyhead, down to a little over 30 kilometres at its narrowest. And given UN rulings on territorial waters, Iran has a right to most of the Straits of Hormuz, with Oman on the other side having similar rights. Now, to give some of the history, one of the first recorded explorations of the Strait of Hormuz comes from Alexander the Great, and part of why he's called the Great and not just the Grand. I suppose Grand in any other country would still sound pretty good, but maybe the just Grand. He's all right. Alexander the All Right was his conquering of much of the Middle East, including modern day Iran. And after that, having come from Macedonia and the lands near Greece, he decided he wanted to try and link up his new empire with home turf by sea. So he sent an admiral called Nearchus on a voyage to find a route from the River Indus, which is in modern day Pakistan, up to the Euphrates River, which empties out from Iraq. So this Nearchus, he takes off by sea, while Alexander would take the route through the desert to try and reach the same place. And it was one of the least great decisions of Alexander the Great's career, with the path through the desert being a disaster of mythic proportions, losing allegedly up to half his army and thousands of camp followers to drought, starvation, the heat, and even flash flooding. Nearchus, though, he didn't have an easy journey either, charting previously uncharted waters, encountering sea monsters that we might recognise as whales on the way, while also struggling for food and clean water and coming across all of these barbarians on the shoreline who were disgusting and repulsive to the sort of Macedonian Greek people. But the journey ultimately was successful, and both general and admiral made it to the Euphrates River to reunite, allegedly in tears, and prove it was theoretically possible for him to link his empire by sea and river. Now, through much of the medieval era, the strait was controlled by various caliphates and became a trading hub between the Middle East and India. And then we hit that era of European expansion and trying to take over everything, and we start to see military control of the straits for strategic reasons. In the 1500s, the Portuguese captured and fortified Hormuz Island and began to control trade through the straits. Now, they were kicked out by the British East India Trading Company a century later, in what began a centuries-long British control or influence on the strait. They largely took responsibility for combating piracy in the area, and as such had military power to bring to bear, and signed treaties with the Gulf states to provide protection in exchange for, I suppose, the safe passage of goods and their little bit on the side. That only became more important entering the 20th century as much of the Western world, including the UK, moved to become oil-powered, and after the opening of the Suez Canal to provide a link between the Gulf and the Mediterranean. That ended largely for the British. They withdrew in the 1970s from what they described at the time as east of the Suez, and many of those Gulf states gained their sovereignty. So the current conflict, really far from the only time the Straits of Hormuz has been held to ransom. Now, it was also blocked in the 1980s. This was during the Iran-Iraq War, which saw the US intervene in order to keep the oil flowing. But now, of course, it is the US and Israel which started this particular conflict we're talking about with Iran, and led to that country blocking the traffic in the strait. Now, Iran does claim that the straits are open to friendly countries. In practice, however, many ships can't get insurance to go anywhere near the area. And the manner of the blockade is also interesting, because I think when we think of blockade, you think of masses of ships and it's totally blocked and you can't move for all of these battleships and whatever in the area. That's not really the case. And given that the US claims, at least, to have largely neutered the Iranian Navy in the first few days and weeks of this war, they're doing it in a different way. And you'll hear people who've been there describe these small boats, kind of smaller, faster, nimbler armed boats that can operate very effectively in the narrow waters of the Straits of Hormuz to harass and follow either civilian ships or other craft that might be trying to make their way through the Straits of Hormuz. If you think, the image I have, and it's not exact because it's different and this is off Africa, but if you've ever seen the film Captain Phillips, you know, Tom Hanks, and he's sort of taken over by Somali pirates and they're chasing them on these little dinghies with AK-47s strapped to the back. I mean, not exactly similar, but not dissimilar, if you get what I mean. This isn't, you know, your World War II massive naval battle that's going on. It's really quite different, and it means that even though Iran doesn't have the military cachet to take on the US, it can squeeze the lifeblood out of the West by putting the clamps on oil. About 20% of the world supply flows through the Straits of Hormuz, which has already had a huge knock-on effect. It's estimated to be up to closer to 30% of the seaborne oil, if you get me, oil that goes by sea rather than going overland. LNG, of course, massively affected. And if you go back and listen to the episode we did on sort of the supply chains and everything to do with it a few weeks ago, how the pricing of energy actually works, with Kevin McPartland from Fuels for Ireland, he was particularly talking about kerosene and aviation fuel coming from the Middle East, that a massive amount of it comes through the Strait of Hormuz. And now you hear Michael O'Leary of Ryanair, and indeed the Taoiseach, warning if this goes on much longer, it is aviation that is going to be particularly hit as those clamps come on. Unfortunately, not a huge amount of people think this is going to end anytime soon. Former fighter pilot and military analyst Sean Bell, he's not optimistic for change.
Well, the Straits, I mean, the Iranians have consistently said it's open, but it's only open to friendly forces. Trump said the other day that he believed that Iran was letting some ships through with oil for America. I have to say that nearly everything we've heard from President Trump over the last few days, couple of weeks, has seemed to be more targeted, trying to placate the domestic markets rather than having any truth involved. The harsh reality is now that the Houthis have also got involved over the weekend, targeting Israel, but also potentially starting to go the Bab al-Mandab Straits, which is the straits just a bit further southwest of the Straits of Hormuz. Now, through there, 15% of global shipping goes. This is only making matters worse. It's not making them better. Iran is just demonstrating, and it's started to tighten its grip around these major arterial shipping routes around the world. That is a great worry for the West.
It is quite remarkable in the world we live in, and maybe could only happen in the world we live in, that one body of water can have such a knock-on effect around the world. Now, some countries in the region, including Saudi Arabia and the UAE, they've planned for this. They built pipelines to take oil to the other side of their country to avoid the Straits of Hormuz. But even with those pumping at full capacity, you would see a reduction in barrels of oil in the millions, really, per day range. So even with them going like the clappers, there is going to be a knock-on effect to the world economy. And who knows, we're going to hear Donald Trump, as I'm recording this, give a State of the Nation as such address to the US. We'll see what he has to say. What Iran has to say is a whole other matter. But if this does drag on and on, get ready for a bit more pain, I suppose, around the world. That's it for this episode of Let Me Explain. Don't forget to like and subscribe wherever it is you listen, and I will chat to you soon.